Good morning. Thanks, Jay. Well done. 1-2. I like that one, Jay. That's just fantastic. God is good. Amen. Amen. You're very welcome to Liberty Church this morning. And just want to really say, you know, when you go around church and you do church for a long time, which I have been doing church for a long time, you think you see everything and, you know, and you think you hear everything and all that, but you don't. And you think you'll never be shocked by someone's plight or someone's story. But I'm glad that I'm still shocked at the brokenness of humanity. And but I'm so glad that we have a King and a Savior and a Lord who loves to reach people. Who loves. You know, someone says, we don't see healing anymore. Do you know what I mean? And I want to say, when was the last time you prayed for the sick? We don't see people being rescued from darkness. But when was the last time you reached out to somebody in darkness? You see it when you do it. You know, you read about it when someone else is doing it. But you will see it in your world and in my world when we step out and shine on the spot that God has us in. Wherever we are in life, shine on the spot. And I just want to say this because I also hear going around churches that are 20 times as big as this church. And they say things like this, that like, our church doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to move. Well, I want to tell you, we allow the Holy Spirit to move in this place. And Jason, I honor you for stepping out. You know, I honor Jason that, like, and Paul, and they bounce off each other over there. And it's like, I believe God is saying this and wherever. Because we want to see God in reality. We don't want to just have uniformed Christians that are just sitting down and not being utilized in the kingdom of God. We want to see the kingdom of God move because we're not satisfied with just having church as normal. That is not our intention, to have everything ordered and everything minuted. We were looking at that. We were going that way. And we're like, we just want what Jesus wants. And look, it's only 11:45. And look what he's after fitting in 45 minutes. I'd be amazed. Every week in the last couple of months, it's like, man, I get up and I go, am I be like, stay at worship? And I'm like, oh, it must be nearly 11:30. And it's still only 11:45. It's like he's taking the loaves and fishes and going, here you go. And I'm like, it's only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But he's feeding a whole lot with that. And that's what he's doing with time. And we give time to the worship of God, the word of God. And we give time to praying and just hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Amen. And just want to pray for Chris and Sheila. Come on, guys. Chris and Sheila is going out. We have a team going out to the Zalto in 2 weeks, and these guys are going out next Friday. They're going this Friday coming to prepare the way for the team and to get stuff ready and all that stuff. They're going to cut down trees and through the jungle. So, here, guys, I'm joking. But just want to say that next week, you know, it's great to have Anne and Phil and Jen back from Belarus, which have just back. I think they got back and Jen's sister Evan as well. Evelyn. And I think he got back at 1 o'clock in the morning or something. This fair play to coming into church for work. And next week we'll hear from these guys as what God done in Belarus this time of day. But we want to pray for Sheila and Chris as they head out this Friday to Palani. And there's a lot of work to be done and there's a lot of work gone in. And I'm just amazed. I think the team raised like something like 40 grand. Something like that is 30,000 euro to go over. We're going to build a dining room area in Palani. They're having a fun. And so Chris and Sheila will be going to the marriage group. But let it stand as we're sending them out today. We'll send the rest of the team out. But, you know, we gave a commitment to Belarus for 5 years. And we're there 10 years now. And the big money changer in it all, a game changer in it all, was we start bringing the kids from Belarus home to Ireland. So our commitment to Belarus is ongoing. You know, we have 2 boys and we're committed to them till we love to come home and live with us when they're 18 or more. But, one thing I will say about Liberty is the stickability about us. This is a first step in a new adventure, another adventure, not new one, another adventure, that the Christian Shield, and you know, we get them to share their story. And if you haven't heard it already, it is amazing how God has led us this way. He's led people from this little place to sit with ambassadors from other countries, and then in from the south or other places. And God is in this. We just talked about it one day. Chris came for my blessing, and which wasn't hard. He says, "No, it's over a mountain. No one can get to it. Nobody wants to go to this place." I says, "We're gone." Because that's liberty. People don't want to go to places. That's what our mandate is. And so it was sold in an instant, and doors opened. Like, and you couldn't believe how quick the doors opened. Right up to the ambassador's office. Into, like, you couldn't believe the amount of officialdom that is behind what we're doing in there. So let's pray together. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to this world of ours, to your love towards every corner of our world, Lord, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, oh God. You're just so faithful, oh God, to this planet that you gave your only begotten Son, oh God, that you loved so much that you gave, Lord God. And we, Lord, want to send Chris and Sheila out as our first fruits, Lord, as Lord, you gave, Lord, we want to give, Lord. And Lord, I've said this to Rob recently about Bray and about Clondalkin, and we give our best to Finglas. We give our best. We give our best people, our best givers, our best worshippers. And we're still giving our best from this location. And we send Chris and Sheila out, Lord, as some of our best, oh God. Lord, the best that they can be in you, Lord. The best, Lord God, Father, ambassadors of grace and of mercy and of goodness, Lord, and of kindness and of sacrifice and of willingness to serve you, Lord Jesus. And we send them out, Lord God, to receive the fruit of that which you are sacrificed for, Lord, in that part of the world called Azutu, Lord God. Father, we send them out as a blessing, Lord. We send them out as a written testament, as a written epistle of the love of God, Lord, to the children in Palani, Lord God. I pray, Father God, for miracles and signs and wonders, Lord, and salvations, O God. I pray, Lord God, that what we put in a seed in the ground as a seed today, Lord God, will grow into a mighty forest in the name of Jesus, O God. That, Lord God, it won't be only one orphanage that we will build, Lord, but it will turn into tens and twenties and even hundreds in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would allow Chris and Sheila, Lord, you would allow this church, this team, Lord, to see a harvest of orphan kids, Lord, getting a mommy and a daddy, Lord, getting brothers and sisters, Lord, getting people who care, Lord, people who've already showed their commitment to widows and orphans, Lord, in this city, in this land, and in other lands of God, that we send them out, Lord God, and we say to you, Palani, that you are receiving some of the best that we have. We say to you, Palani, we're going to pour them out. We're going to pour out the love that's in them upon you, and you're going to see Jesus with skin on. In Jesus' great name, we send you out, Chris and Sheila. We bless you. We bless your family. We send you out under the protection of Almighty God. We send you out under the grace of Almighty God, under the protection, the presence, the provision, and the peace of God himself. And the people says, amen. Let's give her up for Chris and Sheila. Amen. You can sort out that rail. See, here we go, right? Worship, words, praying for the sick, words of knowledge, sending out missionaries. And it's still only 10 to 12. Let's turn to the Word of God. I was reminded of this sermon that the Lord gave me probably 4 or 5 years ago. But because you go from a desktop computer to a laptop to an iPad to another iPad to a phone, you lose nearly everything whether you want it or not. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know where the desktop is now. So this sermon was on that desktop. It was gone. But it just reminds me of the topic of it rather than being able to go back and find it scripting there. You know what I mean? The desktop, it's dead and buried. And all that stuff. And if it's on my laptop, that's dead and buried. And if it's on my other iPad, that's all it's gone. And so I'm sitting there saying, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to people? And I want to speak about the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is Jesus. And not only do I want to speak about the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is Jesus, I want to talk about the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And his roar, and what he says, and what he declares. And if you want some sort of visual, tremendous story or entertainment around what the lion's roar is like. But invite you today, if you're not coming to Clondalkin at 6 o'clock where Eddie will be preaching, if you're not coming to there, why don't you sit back and watch Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and again, the Chronicles of Narnia, and you see Aslan, who represents Jesus. You see him, you know, giving his life. Yeah, I won't spoil if you haven't seen it, but he rises up. And because he represents Jesus. And anyway, you see him at the end when the witch, the frosty little witch, the cold woman, who turns everything into stone, who represents the enemy. You stand there and you think everything is complete. And Aslan walks out. And the people that were with him, Lucy and Edmund, and you know the other guys that were with him, Peter, the other guys in it. I love the way they say their name, Edmund. And his roar is so, it's nearly terrible. It's terrifying when it comes to the end. But they don't even look at Aslan. They don't even look at the representation of Jesus. Because his roar and his terror in his roar wasn't towards the ones loved, but it was towards the ones that was coming against the ones that he loved. Just watch, it's incredible where they all bow down. All the enemies of Aslan, all the enemies of Jesus bow down. That like one day that Jesus is going to let this roar, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and he's the ones that he loved, he's their protector. But the ones who are against him or dismiss him or reject him, he's the prosecutor. I don't know where you stand with God this morning, but let me tell you from the beginning that the Lion of the Tribe of Judah wants to be our protector. He doesn't want to come a day when he's your prosecutor, meaning this, they rejected me. He never wants that. That is not his heart. So here's where it starts. In the book of Genesis, which is called the Book of Beginnings. Now, if you get a topic of the Lord or a scripture of the Lord or the revelation of the Lord, believe me, everywhere now you look in scriptures, you see this. It's an incredible thing. As I always describe, it's like he puts on a pair of glasses and all of a sudden, oh, the lion, or the roar of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And everywhere I go, there's a roar. Now, it doesn't say a roar, but there's a roar. And you see it everywhere. And so we could be here forever. And I've loads of scriptures. And I'm going to go through them really quick. But I want to set the foundation so that I can go through them quick. So Jacob is dying and calls all these ones in. You know, the God we serve is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When it comes to Jacob, Jacob has 12 sons. And everything splits then into different things, you know. But he comes down, he's blessing them all. Read it, chapter 49. And he comes down to Judah. And Judah wasn't the best of it all. Like, I think if I was picking someone to do this, I'd probably go for Joseph. But this was Judah. And he says to Judah, he says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Now, he's not only speaking about him as a man. He's speaking about his lineage. He's speaking about who was to come out of the seed of Judah. Your brothers will praise you. You will grasp your enemies by the neck. All your relatives will bow before you, Judah, my son. Judah, my son, is a young lion that has finished eating its prey. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down, and like the ruler's staff, but like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs to. The one whom all nations will honor. So without having a hermeneutics class, that he's speaking about Judah, this is about you, but it's about who's coming through you. So listen to what he said, that the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until it says he's going to, the scepter will, and the ruler's staff will pass down from generation to generation, until the one to whom it belongs to, the one whom all nations will honor, that's where it stops. And right through Judah's lineage comes Jesus. Judah's lineage is the royal lineage. It's kingship lineage all the way through. And if you want to see how God moves and protects and preserves, all you have to do is watch where the seed of the line of the tribe of Judah is going to or going from or what's coming against it. God always protects it in every way. So Genesis is prophesying about the one that's to come, who will rule the nations, who the nations will honor him. And then in Revelations, it speaks about the line of the tribe of Judah, the one who was coming through the lineage of Judah, way back in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and the book of Revelations, which speaks about the ends and everything in between. Someone says to me about the book of Revelations, because people have a terror that is unhealthy and unholy about the book of Revelations. It is God's word. It's the only book that the Bible says whoever reads this is blessed. Now, you're blessed when you read any of God's word. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit sought to put it in there. If you read this book of Revelations, you are blessed. You will be blessed. And some people go, oh, it's like full of different things. And it's full of like dragons and this and that and whatever. And it's all a mystery. It's not a mystery. If it was a mystery, he'd call it the book of mystery. Instead, it's the book of Revelation. The book of what's hidden will be revealed, will be opened up to us. And everything that's in that book that seems to terrify people, it seems to terrify people who are either ignorant, meaning not ignorant in a bad way, that don't understand what is being said, don't understand about who we are. Because everything that's good in that book is mine and yours. Everything that is in that book. And it's a tremendous book. I've been talking to Sharon about it over the last couple of days. Here's what happened. There's a scene in the chapter 5. And everyone in heaven is like, John is getting revelation. And he sees this scene about the scroll being open. And only one could open the scroll. And everyone, the angels and elders and everything was going on. You were like, who can open the scroll then? It says he could find no one on earth or below the earth or in the heavens that could open the scroll. And then someone says, then one of the elders says, but one, verse 5 of Revelations, but one of the 24 elders said to me, this is John. He's like looking around. There's no one to open the scroll. He starts weeping. And he says, and one of the elders, the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir of David's throne, has won the victory, and he is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. So everything that was to be revealed and everything that was to be released into the nations and into the world and into that era of time, it says that he has won the victory and he is worthy to open the scroll and the seven seals. And if you read on, it goes, oh, everyone starts just going, you are worthy. The Lamb who was slain, the one who won ransomed men and women for God because of his slain body. There was no one on the earth or under the earth that was able to open. There was only one who was worthy, and it's Jesus. It's the risen Lord. John is in this scene. He's looking around, and he says, look, they said it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, when you think of a lion, I don't know about you, but when you think of a lion, you think about this beast that is majestic, a creature of absolute power and authority and strength. You think of fierceness. When you think of a lion, he is the king of the jungle. He is feared by any other animal in the jungle. He is the monarch, the king of the jungle. The lion is a symbol of royalty. The lion is a symbol of authority and power. If someone's being lion-hearted, you're talking about someone who is courageous. You're talking about someone who is bold. You're talking about someone who is fearless. Proverbs says that the righteous, you and me, are as bold as lions. That's their DNA. That their new nature is like the nature that Jesus has put in us, made us brand new, like him. I don't know about you. Sometimes I feel like a little kitten. But that's not who we are. When you refer to someone as lion-hearted, you can refer to a person of great importance, great influence. In Ireland, we say he's a horse of a man. In other countries, they say he's a lion of a man. When you talk about a lion, it stirs up power and might and awesomeness. And John's is listening to a picture. When you listen to John, it stirs up in the scriptures that you see the line of the tribe of Judah will open the scrolls. And it stirs up someone, when if you looked around and you see the line, you're thinking of someone who was amazing. Abraham or Jacob says to Judah, your brothers will praise you, meaning you're going to be respected. You're going to be looked up to. And he says, Jacob said, your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies, meaning this, you're going to be victorious. Others will bow to you, and you will have all the authority. Speaking of who was to come. Amen. And John looks around for the lion, because they said the lion's going to open. And he looks around, and what does he see? He sees a lamb. He sees a lamb on the throne. He looks around, seeing, I'm going to see this incredible, powerful vision. I'm going to see this powerful lion. I'm going to see this powerful and majestic lion with all authority. And it says in chapter 6, verse 8, when he looked around, he seen a lamb as though it being slain with seven horns and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God set down into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before. So here's the risen Christ in the throne room of heaven. And it was announced to John about a conquering lion, and he looks around and he sees a lamb. You can't get any more contradictory than this, can you? You have the lion who was powerful, the lion who everybody is fearful of, and you have a lamb who was weak. You have a lion who was dangerous, and you have a lamb who was harmless. You couldn't get any more diverse. John Piper, the preacher, says this. He says, Jesus is a lion like lamb. And a lamb like lion. Jesus is a lion like lamb and a lamb like lion. He is both. 1700s, Jonathan Edwards was a great preacher. And he preached a message on this Revelations 5. And listen to his title back in his day. Now, this is the 1700s. So his sermon was called The Admirable Conjunction of Diverse Excellencies in Christ Jesus. Amazing title of a sermon. Lads will tell you, I never entitled my sermons, but this is called The Roar of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Adam. But I rarely ever, they come up to me, what will I call that? I'll give it a name. I don't sit and spend all my time trying to craft clever words. I wish I was just able to be a bit better. But the lads, and then they go, well, we call it this. I know, don't call it that. It's better than that. But like, I was like, I have to come up with this one. So the title today, Adam, try put this on a little piece of something. The admirable conjunction of diverse excellencies in Christ Jesus. Now, we wouldn't talk like this today, but listen to the way these words are broken down from the 1700s. The admirable means, this is beautiful. This beautiful conjunction means bringing things together of diverse, different, excellences as they come together. The beautiful things that are contradictory in terms that don't make sense to the natural man will come together as absolute perfect understanding in Christ Jesus. The lion and the lamb, though very diverse, have each peculiar excellency. The lion excels strength and majesty in his appearance and voice. The lamb excels meekness and patience, and we see both in Jesus. Jonathan Edwards says in that sermon, he goes on to say about the contradiction excellencies that are found in Jesus. For example, he is both infinite highness and yet will come low to minister. He is absolute justice and absolute grace. The contradiction. He is infinite in glory and he's lowest in humility. He is infinite in majesty and yet he's infinite in meekness. So the lamb overcomes, the lion overcomes. How? How did he get his victory? How did he win the world? By being the lamb that was slain. He gets victory as the lion by being the Lamb of God who was slain for the world. Jonathan Edwards goes on to say in that sermon that nobody can set you from the hands of the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's the greater. There's nobody greater. Peter says that there's another lion that goes around roaring. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 5. In the same way, I'll just read it all because I put it all in. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourself in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Now here's where we're getting into. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about them. Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy. The devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Do you notice that? Peter says, give all your worries to God. Cast all your cares. Because we become devourable when we're snowed under with worries and cares. When we cast them all upon Jesus, we're not devourable by the enemy. But Jonathan Edwards wanted us to know that the roaring lion of hell is no match for the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. That when the roaring lion of hell comes to roar, he is no match for Jesus, who defeated him as a lamb. He defeated him on a cross as a slain lamb, defeated that roaring lion. And not only did he defeat him, but the Bible says that Jesus took every weapon that he had. He took his teeth out. He's a toothless lion. And all he has, he can't even lie through his teeth because he ain't got any. For all he has is his lion. And if we accept him, we fall into his prey. This Jesus is unconquerable. This lion cannot be tamed by man. We can't put him in a cage in church or in our own life. We have to let us roar from heaven over our lives. And we have to allow the roar to come through us. Listen to what happened with Jesus. And here's why some things, like loads of time. So here's what happens. So you see through the scriptures. One of my best revelations in the last year has been this. Red day by the Lord. Listen to this. There was a man. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time, had eight sons. Who came from the land of Judah and from Bethlehem, beaten and joined. You think the enemy will get wives. Don't mess with anyone from Judah. Don't mess with anyone from Bethlehem. Don't mess with anyone that triumph because he crushes your head every time. I was reading that. I was like, wow. I never realized that he came out of the same place as Jesus. I never realized that David was from that land of Judah. I never realized, and this is what happened. The one who was from the land of the tribe of Judah who came out of Bethlehem. When an enemy came out, to fight and to everyone else was like kitty cats are food. Sharon puts on me bread and tells me it's pate. I don't know. When everyone was afraid that this one who had heard the lion's roar, he had heard the one that prowled around the lambs. That's what he said. A lion came out and took a lamb. For the greater roar was in him. And he went after that lion. And it says he tore it to pieces. It actually says the word actually means he pulverized the lion. Because there was a greater lion in him. There was a greater roar in him. You're not getting my babies. You're not getting my lambs. And when it came down to Goliath, and Goliath was coming out, and that roar of that lion was coming out, young David steps up. He says, I'll take him on. This is what he says. Don't worry about the Philistines.
I'll go out and fight. There was a roar. You're no good. I'll bring you into captivity. And a greater roar came out of David's. And we know the end. Gideon, sitting under the tree, the Midianites were terrifying, oppressing the people of God. And Gideon comes out and he's making some type of juice in a wheat press, which would be wrong. No, he's the opposite. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. You have to have wheat out in the open because of all the dust and all the shock that's in it. He was in a grill. Imagine all everything in the air. Was he afraid? The angel appears to him. He says to him, "Good one, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you." The NLT says, "The Lord appeared to him, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you." You know Gideon's thing. He says, "I'm not a hero. Do you not know where I come from? I come along from a long line of cowards. My clan is weak. We're not the ones. We're not lions. We're not ones that are going to step out. Says, God has a plan for you. You're going to break family generational stuff. Because where the young was, he went and broke all the altars in his own father's situation. He took down the astropoles, those that he went to people, his family was worshipping other gods. He says, you're going to be the hero of your family. What do you mean, hero of my family? What do you mean, rescue the nation? And see, when God calls us and speaks to us, God sees more in us than we see in us. And he doesn't speak to us according to our background, our sin, our failures. He speaks to us when he was fashioning you and me in our mother's womb. He said, I have a plan for you. I'm going to call you and speak to you according to that plan. He wasn't speaking to Gideon according to what was around him. He was speaking to Gideon according to who he really was. The mandate. See, when Chris was being fashioned in Sheila, they think they're going to live somewhere in Spain or in Cork or in Dublin. And God was like putting in you, I'm going to call you missionary. And life happens and everything happens and God just speaks to you on them terms. Because he won't agree with what is not in his plan for your life. He won't go, yeah, you're right, you're the one that had a really bad life. You got hurt more than I. No, didn't you? He never, he says, son, daughter, healed. Man of God, woman of God, teacher, prophet. That's what he speaks to us as. He goes, but you don't know who I am. Meow. God's like, you don't understand. I have a roar that's going to be in you. I have something in you, and we have to stop agreeing with the low balling ourselves. We have to reach out and say, God, what are you saying? See, he knows the plan. Do you ever read that scripture? For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord. Not to prosper you, not to harm. Promise to give you hope in the future. That's verse 11. Verse 12. Seek me, you'll find me. We stop. God has a plan. God has a plan. 90 years of age. Seek him. Ask him, Lord, what have you poured into me? Someone pointed out in Revelation, Jesus says, this is what Jesus says, that he doesn't want to come, he says, that he has a name written on us. Our own he knows. Ask him. Why wouldn't he tell us? Are we in the position to receive? Mighty warrior, hero of a nation. Gideon thought he was not the weakest, and God says, no, I have a name over you. Mighty hero, prophetess, speaker to kings and nations. People who will start ministries and businesses and breakthroughs that no one else has been given because I spoke it over you. I am hunting. He's going to say, Lord, what's the name?
Marius Carson, me and you as well. So he roars to Gideon. No, Gideon, there's more to you. There's more to you. That's why the Bible says this. Listen, boys, some people need to hear this. The Bible says, hang around with those who come up with. Hang around with those who seek the Lord. Like, don't get it right all the time. But there's something in it. So it keeps getting me up. I can't stay down for long. Like, when I fail God, I'm like, I told you last week, I
get back up. Lord, here I am again. Why? Because I'm trying to live out of the name that he has for me. And everything else is second best. It's low life. It's black and white dreams. There's nothing in it for me. And it's like, yeah, sometimes it feels like tempting. And sometimes it's like, I want to whittle back into that old nature and that old person and who I used to be or who I think I am. But then there's something in me that says, no, mighty warrior, man of God, father, apostle, leader, rise up, lover of God, worshiper of God. All these words that keep coming in and up, and I can't help myself. Get back into the place. God's going to roar. Here's a few things. Genesis chapter 3. Jesus starts roaring. He's the one. Let's hear about Jesus. So, Matthew 21, you can read using yourself, listen to the CD, and then check the notes, not the CD, podcast. Matthew 21, verse 22. Jesus sees a fig tree with one, but all the cedars on the field, so field. Jesus roars. Jesus. Jesus roars. He says, you'll never go through with him. Speaks to him. Why did he close the door? This thought, or read it, heard it. You don't know after what it's you, someone else, or whatever. But he sees the fig tree. You know what he moved on? The man fell away from God. What did he cover himself with? He looks at that fig tree and gosh, there's no fruit in sin. There's no fruit in hiding. There's no fruit in fig leaves hiding. Fig leaves, the animal. Christianity, there's none. He goes, rawr, and he roars at it, withers the things that are not bearing fruit in our lives. Sin never bears fruit. Sin only weakens us. Jesus wants a roar inside of me and inside of you that just speaks to that fruitlessness part of our lives that we keep on going back to. And we need to speak to it and say, I curse you. Because that's what Jesus did. He cursed the tree. He says, you're bearing no fruit anymore. And we have to have that roar inside of us that looks at sin, that looks at our own life. God knows God to search us and get out of pride and get out selfish ambition. And we need to look at it and say, you've never bore me through. You've never done any good in my life. So therefore, I curse you in the name of Jesus. Jesus with the devil. You can read it yourself for close sight. Matthew 4:1-11. There says, he was hungry. You're the Son of God. Poor and stolen. Jesus was wrong on the side of Judah. He was at the crown of all of hell. He was brought. He brings him up a high place. Show yourself down. Angels will come to get you. Your own word says. Jesus Christ. And after all of this, left. But Jesus roared back. Not some people, I went to someone who told me, I called the devil to ever. He doesn't understand that language, that's his language. He understands this language. He understands the written language. Jesus didn't go, well, because I was born of a virgin, because I lived my life well, and I'm a good carpenter, therefore, Mr. Devil, no. It's written. It's written. I'm healed by his stripes. The summers have to get that roar in us. I'm healed by his stripes. And every time the sickness raises its head, I'm healed by his stripes. The word, the leper, Luke 5. The scripture that God called into ministry. The leper comes. Jesus is don't, just so that you don't get that Jesus, Lord, not something, I don't mean it's like just a big shout. Because Jesus roared, the lion roared at the wind. This is where it came out from the wind. Jesus' whisper is greater than every man that any emperor shout. So I'm not saying we go around Florida trees when we go home or anything. You of course have plant tree and your husband gives out to me and then you're in trouble. So you hear me? He turns around to the leper. He roars. The lion Jason told me a story this week. Tell us your stories. Tell us your stories. Get a cup of tea with you. I don't want to drink. I've got to tell you a story. What God is doing with you, I must know. How do you heal the rhythm? Does it work in salvation? The man is crippled with addiction. He's around his own face, he said, steady, thank you. Says to his work colleague, get close to clean this man. No. Place is spotless. Then I go back. What does that have to do? Clean your room. Jesus. Jesus knows what it is. He takes all the stuff that's messy and broken and makes it clean in you. And I don't know where this man was at, right? I don't know whether he ever read the scriptures, but they painted a picture, a living picture for the man. And he surrendered his life to Jesus. And within 1 week, he died and went home to be with Jesus. Roaring can look like serving the poor. And being a great husband, a great father, a great son, a great daughter. Roaring can put on gloves and wash feet or whatever. Jesus speaks to the religious. He roars at them. The man came in with Luke chapter 5 again, just underneath that leper sin. Remember the poor that you bring him down to the roof. Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. Acts chapter 2. Listen to what it says in the NLT, the reading translation. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a roaring wind. NLT translation. It fits right in with this morning's. Like a roaring wind came down, and like a windstorm, and filled the whole house, and everyone present were filled. And began to speak in another language, and as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability, that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, when he rose from the dead and was seated at the right hand of Father, he let another roar, and the wind of God came like a roaring wind, and it rested on each of them, and they all started to do the roaring just like Jesus done. And they went outside and they started preaching like Jesus. They started bringing people into the kingdom. There was a man at gate, beautiful. And he was like the leper that Jesus roared at. And he says, mister, have you got any odds? He says, well, I haven't got any odds, but what I give you, I'll give you in the name of Jesus. Roar! Get up and walk. And he gets up and walks. These Paul and his crew was going through a place. And this woman was coming after him who told fortunes and all that, full of devils. She kept going after them, saying, these men know the truth, these men know the truth. And it says to him, she was doing this for days, and Paul got fed up. I'd imagine God said to him, Paul, why are you tolerating that? And Paul looks at a woman, he lets her roar out. The Lion of the tribe of Judah was now overcoming the lion that was going around saying, I have power, I can tell fortune. And Paul looks around and he goes, in the name of Jesus, come out of that girl. And she was immediately set free. That the Lion of Judah is not just about God roaring, or Jesus roaring, or David roaring, or Gideon roaring, that God has put this roar into the church so that we resound. And finally, Acts chapter 13. Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas was there and saw, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I called them to. And after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them out. Laid hands on them and sent them up. And God said, I'm putting Paul. I'm putting I call into the people to send them us. Some of us are tired and weary. I say this with Jesus, with the crowd along. It says, when Jesus, Lord, and Jesus said, this is what the Bible says. Jesus Christ. It says, an angel. God has sent his angels. He did say. But those of us who are weak, are being fatigued from that, God says, look, I'm sending my angels. Anyone reach the heart of the rock. It says when Jesus came out of the angels' ministry. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits sent by God to minister those who have inherited salvation. They're those who carry the words of God. They're those who are the wind of God, the fire of God. It says after that, Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. You've been in a desert place and you're thinking, what am I doing here? How have I got here? I've been through so many battles in the desert. Can you agree? Are anyone with me? I've more battles in these last 2 years than I've had in my last 25 years. And those who've been in those battle places, you go, what am I doing wrong? But maybe we're doing something absolutely right. That maybe we get knocked out. Jesus didn't get knocked out by the devil. But I'm telling you, I'm confessing to you, I have. Some days I'm happy to walk with God with a limp. And one eye closed. I don't know whether you can identify with me. Sometimes I'm just happy that I've got through a month with my sanity. I kid you not, I'm not playing this down. I'm not playing it up. Well, maybe God has taught me how to have a louder roar than the lion that is prowling around me. And I might scare into a corner at times, but then there's other times I get it. He calls this lion Maximus, Marius. And there's times I walk up and I'm able to see the kingdom of God come and the kingdom of darkness cast out. And you've been in a desert and you've been tired. I haven't faced battles like this before. But listen to what it says. Angels came. And he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was led in by the Holy Spirit, but he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of us have gone through battles. You're thinking, I'm weary. Well, maybe God has prepared you. You come out of that place into a ministry. This is the kingdom of God. Can we stop?